Thank you, Madam Chair. I also re-echo the welcome and appreciation of the committee to the DRC delegation, especially given the heightened crisis and distress levels faced by the state party, and commend your commitment to being here and upholding your obligations under the convention. The DRC, like my country, Nigeria, is richly endowed, and we've heard from other colleagues here the exceptional resources you have. You have the second world's largest rainforest, but the people of DRC, like in other countries, suffer the resource curse, and they have not fully benefited from the natural resources. The gender monopoly of economic assets, natural resources, and financial systems are causal factors that continue to fuel crisis, economic inequality, patriarchal social structures, and weaponization of conflict-related sexual violence to exploit the economic vulnerability of women and girls. The amended Family Code of 2016 to eliminate husband marital authorization, allow women to sign legally binding contracts, work, register business and open bank accounts, and independently and have initiatives that you run to enhance women's economic empowerment and financial resilience, especially your CRSV survivors, is commendable. However, implementation remains constrained, especially in the conflict-affected regions that we've heard all day, with banks failing to comply. Considering that the ongoing conflicts are rooted in control over natural resources, what proportion of the extractive industry is owned by or led by women, and what role do women play in the value and supply chains or trade negotiation teams in key sectors? Furthermore, what measures are being taken to, one, ensure full implementation and compliance with the Family Code, particularly in the conflict-related regions of the DRC, and also to promote women's livelihoods, employability, and to accelerate economic recovery? What are you doing to institute and enforce regulatory policies related to the operations of military bases, military contractors, private companies, and agents of militia groups in conflict areas to promote accountability for CRSV offenses perpetrated in conflict areas? How are you reforming legislation on the ESIA and the ESG policy guidelines for companies investing and trading in the extractive industry to increase gender justice for women and girls who suffer greater risks of CRSV linked to their business operations? How is the state party providing necessary oversight through the licensing of the private sector to better fulfill the business and human rights RUGIS principle and fulfill CEDAW obligations on women's economic empowerment and inclusive business practices in the DRC? How do public-private partnership projects and humanitarian supply companies explicitly promote and protect women's rights, especially in conflict situations? And finally, how do you provide appropriate social buffers to cushion the impact of war on women and girls, augment humanitarian services to promote economic recovery for women, IDPs, and address barriers, including digital gender gaps that women face in accessing social welfare programs and economic opportunities in conflict areas? Please provide data on percentage of women benefiting from the National Reparation Fund and how effectively the peculiar needs of CRSV survivors are designed to be met. Thank you.